There are so many that are walking free, Lord, but inside there's just pain and there's emptiness and there's no hope, Lord. So many live with hopelessness, Lord. So many live in just an awful, awful cycle of despair, Lord. But today we have the gospel. Hallelujah. We have good news that there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the Lord Jesus Christ has set us free from the law of sin and death. We are no longer bound by sin. We are no longer bound by the fear of judgment. We are no longer bound by our broken nature, our sinful nature, because if any man or woman be in Christ, they are a new creation. Old things pass away and all things become new. I thank you that I have a new life in Christ. Would you lift your hand with me? I thank you, Lord. I have a new life in Christ. Thank you for saving me, Lord. In Jesus' name. I want to speak with you for a little while this morning about freedom's sacrifice. Freedom's sacrifice. As somebody so aptly said, freedom is not free. It costs a lot. As we just saw in the video, the signers of the Declaration of Independence, the 56 men, and we might add their wives and their children, also suffered privations along with them. Some of them were captured. Some of their homes were burned to the ground. Some of them were taken to prison. Depending on which account you read, 12 of them were actually killed. Some of them had their children incarcerated. There were tremendous sacrifices. And in this country, from that time, from 1776 going forward, there have been thousands and thousands of men and women in our service, military service, who have given their lives to protect our freedom, basic freedoms, freedom of the press, freedom of speech, freedom of assembly, to be able to gather together without fear of interference. But it costs people something. There are men and women even today who are committed to a just cause, ready to give their lives to protect our physical freedom, that we would have life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. There are people who understand the cost of freedom. It comes at a great price. I remember speaking to a man one time who had migrated here from Romania, and he enjoyed living in the United States so much. He was just so transformed. And I tried to get an understanding of what the difference was from where he was living and now that he was in the United States. Oh, brother, I said, what is the difference? What does it mean to you being in the United States? He said one word. He said, liberty. And he raised his hand like the torch, you know, like the Statue of Liberty. He said, liberty. That means everything. Liberty is not always automatic in other countries. Somebody say amen. We have liberty this morning. But as I mentioned, physical freedom is one thing. But there are many people who are living in the United States with all the wealth, with all the blessings, with all the benefits, who are the most miserable people on earth. We got more people being treated for depression and anxiety and suicide and all of these things happening because people live with fear. People live with a sense of emptiness because they don't know the freedom that we have through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Jews were arguing with Jesus one day and say, when Jesus said, if you know the truth and you follow my word, you will become free. Amen. They became very offended by that. They said, what do you mean we will become free? We are the children of Moses. We haven't been slaves to anyone. We are free because we believe in Moses. And Jesus said to them, only the Son of Man can set you free. Only the Son. If the Son of God sets you free, you are free indeed. Hallelujah. But there's a sacrifice involved. We know that these men and women that we just learned about paid a tremendous price. But do you know our Lord Jesus also paid a great price? He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we through him might be called the righteousness of God. God no longer sees my sin, but he sees the blood of his Son Jesus. The word sacrifice is defined as the surrender of something valued or desirable for the sake of something considered as having a higher value. Sacrifice is defined as surrendering something that you consider valuable That's why when we give our offering to God, we don't give our leftovers. Come on now, somebody say amen. David, the psalmist, said, I will not offer to the Lord that which costs me nothing. You know, in the Bible, a sacrifice is an offering that is required to be made to God in acknowledgement of his power and as a condition of his provision and blessing. God requires a sacrifice. God requires our heart. He requires our life. The Bible says he died, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he died so that we who live should no longer live for ourselves. He purchased our salvation. We were not ransomed by corruptible things, the Bible says, but like silver or gold. He didn't purchase our life like if a kidnapper, you know, kidnaps one of your kids and say, I want a $100,000 ransom. I don't know how you would do it, but I'm pretty sure you would try to ransom your own child. But God redeemed the whole world through the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. Not by corruptible things, but through the precious, everybody say precious, blood of Christ. Sacrifice does not come easy. I am not one of these people like, you know, oh yeah, I just did 100 push-ups. Man, I want to do another 100. Yeah, you know, I did 50 chin-ups. This is great. I feel terrible. You know, I'm in such pain, you know. Let me eat some jalapeno peppers to make myself feel worse, you know. I'm not one of those type of people that enjoys pain. Is there anybody? Don't raise your hand. But did you ever meet these people like, and they're beating themselves? This is great, you know, and they're hitting themselves on the head. Wow, I feel great. I'm really tough. I wasn't built that way. I would much rather avoid pain. I don't know about you. I'm just going to tell it like it is. But you know, there are things in life that you cannot get the easy way. There are choices you have to make about things that are very important in your life. And the important things of life are never acquired through the easy path. Things that are really worthwhile will cost you something. Think about the important things of your life, your health, your education, your marriage, your family, your career, your friendship, your financial stability. None of these things come by accident. None of these things are just handed to you on a silver platter. You got to work for it. Turn to your neighbor and say, you got to work for it. You want to have a good marriage? You better work on it. You want to have a healthy body? You got to eat right. You got to exercise. You got to take care of it. You can't complain to God while you're sitting in front of the television eating Twinkies and say, why don't I have a healthy body? Come on now. It costs something. Education, you got to do the work. There's no easy way. Jesus said, narrow. Narrow is small is the door, and narrow is the way that leads to life eternal. But the important things in life are worth it. Somebody say, they are worth it. Jim Elliot, who was the missionary who died in Ecuador as he was reaching out to the Aucca Indians, he penned these famous words. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. It's not a fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. And the things that we do in Christ's name, the life that we give, the love that we sow, the kindness that we sow, the sacrifices that we sow, reap eternal benefits. Somebody say amen. Amen. It will be worth it all when I see Jesus. Life's sorrows will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse at his dear face, all sorrows will erase. It will be worth it all when we see Christ. Are you with me today? And spiritually, it's even more important. Your health is important, your education is important, your marriage is important, your finances are important, but your spiritual life is the most important thing. And it's so sad how little attention people pay to their spiritual life. I want to encourage you today, and I want to inspire you with the help of the Holy Spirit to break free from anything that is holding you back spiritually. Get rid of it. Because it's worth it to serve Jesus. It was an old song. It pays to serve Jesus. It pays to serve Jesus every day. Fight for your destiny. There's a war for your inheritance. There's a war for the vision of your life. God has a preferred future for your life, but the devil has a vision too. The devil seeks to kill, steal, and destroy. But the choices that you make will determine your future. You don't have to be bound by your past even, because every day his mercies are brand new. Somebody say amen. You say, you could say, I'm sitting here, you know, Pastor, I realize I messed up in some things. Hey, I got good news for you. You're alive. You're breathing. You can start fresh. You can start fresh. Come on, somebody give God a hand of praise. How many of you honestly can look back and say, I've gradually, progressively been giving more of myself to God. I've been growing spiritually. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed to say it. Thank God. God bless you. I'm more God conscious than I used to be. I dwell in the Word more than I used to be. My language is not what it used to be. My attitude is not what it used to be. I want to encourage you today. Continue in the things that you know bring you closer to God. Continue to grow in the things that define you as more spiritual and less self-centered. Sacrifice for what really matters. Because Jesus, our example, gave his life's blood to pay for your life. Was it Lennon Ravenhill? I think it was Lennon Ravenhill. I put on his tombstone, just a contemporary of David Wilkerson and a prophetic preacher, put on his gravestone, is what you're living for worth Christ dying for? Is what you're now living for worth the sacrifice? It's like I watched a war movie one time where some soldiers were going to have to go back and sacrifice their lives. And they knew it. But yet there was another man or several men that were going to go forward to try to warn the others. And they knew they were making a decision right there. And as these brave men went back to fight and to protect these others who were going to go and warn the others, they said, make sure that you make our sacrifice worth it. Make our sacrifice count. Make it count. Turn to your neighbor and say, make it count. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 4. Hebrews 12, 1 to 4. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses, read in Hebrews 11, all of the people have gone before us. And even maybe some of you had a praying mother, a praying grandmother. These are now up in heaven. My ancestors who loved the Lord, cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. And let us, see, you don't have to do anything to get into sin. It'll just happen. That's the struggle that we have, that we battle a fallen nature. We battle a brokenness, and the world and its world system tries to feed the lower instincts in our life. The allure of the world, success, fame, women, men, you know, all of these things that we think are going to make us fulfilled, all of these things that we think are going to make us happy, it so easily entangles us. And now it says, let us make a sacrifice. Everybody say, make a sacrifice. Run with endurance the race that is set before us. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising. He didn't focus on the shame of hanging naked in front of the whole city for 6 hours. He didn't focus on the shame. He went on for the joy that was before him. He endured the cross. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him. Consider Christ as our example. He has endured such hostility. Everything the devil could throw at him. All the sins of the world. So that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In other words, use Jesus as your inspiration. Consider him as your example. Are you following me today?
Amen.
Do you follow what we're trying to say here? Let Christ be your inspiration. Not your next door neighbor. You might say, well, I'm better than my next door neighbor because he plays music all night and they're partying. I'm sure they're smoking weed next door. I'm sure they're smoking weed next door because I can smell it. But that doesn't give you any points with God. God doesn't compare us to our neighbor. He compares us to himself. How holy are you compared to God? Not holy enough. That's why we need Jesus. So don't try to be a Christian and be good for God. You can only be good if Christ is in you. If Christ is living in you, then you can follow him and be good. Hallelujah. So don't grow weary and lose heart. Jesus, in every step he took, he sought to fulfill the Father's plan. He said, I have not come to do my own will. I have come to do my Father's work and finish the work that he gave me. And today, in honor of the greatest sacrifice the world has ever seen, I want us to renew our pledge to live for him who died for us. Hallelujah. In honor of the greatest sacrifice. Is it worth it? It's absolutely worth it. And if you're here this morning and you're afraid, I have a word for you. Let perfect love cast out fear. What are you afraid of? I can't be a real Christian, Pastor. That's too hard. I know what's going to happen when I get around my friends. I'm just going to start acting, you know, like them. Or I can't be a Christian because I have no discipline. I can't be strong because the devil scares me. Listen, I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let us pledge our lives, our fortune, and our sacred honor, even as those 56 men did on Independence Day. Let us repledge ourselves to God. I'll live for him who died for me. How happy then my life will be. The Christian life has been given a bad rap. The devil tries to insult God by saying that God is too hard. If you're going to follow God, God is too harsh. He's up there just waiting for you to make a mistake. He's got a big stick in his hand. And the minute you make a mistake, whap, he's going to spoil all your fun. He's going to make your life miserable. But that's a lie. Everybody say, that's a lie. And Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. You haven't even begun to live until you put Jesus in the driver's seat. Come on now, somebody say amen. You don't even know what living is. God has a future. Behold, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to give you a future and a hope, not to harm you, but to do good, to give you a future and a hope. If you seek me with all of your heart. The problem is sometimes we seek him with half of our heart. But God says, if you seek me with all of your heart, I will be found by you. Amen. The devil says that we can never be good enough. The devil is a liar. The devil says that God is trying to spoil our fun. The devil is a liar. The devil will say it's too hard. You can't really be a Christian. The standard is too high. I got news for you. It's the best life you could ever enjoy. The enemy is an expert in propaganda. He's like what Russia has been doing, try to sow seeds of discord into on the internet and to bring discord into our country. This is a known fact. This is not political speech I'm giving right now. Why is Russia on a propaganda campaign against the United States? Because they want to destabilize this country. Satan wants to destabilize your marriage. He wants to interfere with your devotional life. He wants to give you 100 reasons why you can't read your Bible today. 100 reasons why it didn't work before, it won't work again. He's an expert in propaganda. But today I'm telling you, this is the word of the Lord. Give God your heart. Give God the sacrifice that he wants. The sacrifices of God. Our broken and contrite heart. In Romans chapter 12, it says, we are now living sacrifices. You see, in the Old Testament, they had animal sacrifices. And these animal sacrifices represented a life that was exchanged for our life. The blood of those animals was symbolic of the fact that it was a ransom. It would cost something to redeem our life. Are you with me today? Those animal sacrifices meant something. It was looking forward to the ultimate sacrifice of Christ, who is the Lamb of God, the perfect Lamb of God. Are you with me? But in the New Testament, we are sacrifices. We give our whole lives to God, our body, our soul, our spirit, our mind, our thoughts. Even as Christ did not think equality with God was something to hold on to. He could have said to the people trying to betray him, the people that wanted to arrest him and wanted to crucify, guys, you have no idea who you're messing with here. Do you realize that I am the great I am? And he said, at any moment, I could call 12 legions of angels. That's a lot of angels. Depending on how the research you do, it's thousands. It's thousands of angels. But he did not think equality with God was... Why did he do that? Why did he let go of his divine prerogatives? Why did he lay aside his glory? He took upon himself the form of a man. He humbled himself, became a servant, became obedient to the Father, even to the point of death. He did that to obey the Father's will, to pay the price for our redemption, and also to be an eternal example for how we should live and how we can honor him. We honor him by humbling ourselves and giving our lives back to him. So the first sacrifice, and I'm just going to cover two this morning, and I'm going to close right now. Well, in a few minutes anyway. Sacrifice of repentance. What is the sacrifice that God requires? Psalm 51, verse 17. The sacrifice you desire, God, is a broken spirit. You will not reject a broken and repentant heart, O God. Repentance is not a popular teaching today. Because some people have the mistaken idea repentance is like the people who used to walk around with ashes on their head and tear their clothes in sackcloth. That's not necessarily what God is looking for. Repentance means two things primarily. It means a genuine sorrow for the way you've been living. In other words, Lord, I'm sorry. I've been gossiping, Lord. I've been spreading false information about my neighbor. I've been back talking, God, and I'm sorry. I'm genuinely sorry. So part one of repentance, being sorry for what you've done. Whatever it is God's convicting you of. Part two, turning around, making a U-turn. Somebody say, God allows U-turns. Recalculating, like the GPS says. Recalculating. God allows U-turns. So sorrow is a sacrifice. Repentance is a sacrifice. In Paul's letter to the Corinthians, he says, godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret. But worldly sorrow brings death. I have been in a few situations where I have had to repent real quick. I had many cases where one was while I was in high school. I graduated high school. I was involved in a lot of civic clubs and all of this. I was an editor of the newspaper. I was in all kinds of organizations in high school. And guess what? Being 17 years old started to go to my head a little bit. Say amen. And, you know, I started to walk around the school like I owned the place. And, you know, I was a senior now, and I had all these certificates said that, you know, I was in this club, and I was in that club, and I was in that. And there was an assistant teacher in the library who stopped me. He was new. He says, where's your pass? I said, I don't have a pass. I'm the editor of the newspaper. Don't you know who I am? He wasn't impressed with me. To my shock and to my dismay, he was not impressed with me. And he said, where's your pass? I said, I don't have a pass. I said, I come here all the time. Everybody knows me. I'm famous, you know. And I pushed him. I said, leave me alone. And he smacked me right in the face. Now, this was back in the 60s. where the idea of corporal punishment wasn't, you know, punishable by execution and death, you know. So now we're both going to the principal. He's going, I'm taking you to the principal. I said, I'm taking you to the principal. I was going to, can you imagine him slapping me? Does he know who he's dealing with here? Now, it was a long walk to the principal's office. It's a good thing. You know that proverb that says, while you're on your way to the judge, you better think about what you're doing because you're going to get your butt kicked? Pardon me, did I say butt in church? I'm sorry. Well, that's what I started thinking, and I'm thinking to myself, here's what my self-talk was. Stupid, what are you doing? Don't you realize you're ruining your life right now? You're going to undo all the good you did here. And you're going to, just because of your pride, just because of your anger. And I was angry. And I started to have sorrow and repentance in my heart. Genuine. And I began to soften my words. And by the time we got to the principal's office, I was like, yeah, I'm really sorry. I think I really kind of, I lost my cool back there. And I shouldn't, I'm really sorry. And the principal, who knew me, said, David, is this going to be a problem? I said, no, I'm fine. I'm so sorry. Apologize to you and apologize. Okay, go on. And I was able to graduate with all my little honors and all those little things that mean nothing now. But it proves something, that you've got to get real with yourself. You've got to get real with yourself. Sacrifice of repentance. And the last one, I close with this, the sacrifice of obedience. Brother Angel referred to Abraham's obedience in the worship. He didn't know I was preaching on this. But Abraham figuratively offered his son, Isaac, his only son, as a sacrifice to God. And why did he do it? Did God want a human sacrifice? No. But God wanted to test Abraham's obedience, to see if he would willing to offer up that which was most important to him. And as he raised his hand with the ceremonial knife to slay his son, the angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven and said, now I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, I will surely bless you and make you descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies. And through your offspring, the nations of the earth will be blessed. Now watch this, the last five words. Because you have obeyed me. Because you have obeyed me. The sacrifice of obedience. And Jesus offered this in the Garden of Gethsemane. Lord, if it is possible, Father, if it is possible, take this cup. He knew what was coming. Somebody say, he knew it. He knew what was coming. If there's some other way, God, nevertheless, not as I will, as you will, Father. He obeyed even to the point of death. What an example. Let us be inspired today by the example of those who sacrifice for our freedom, both physically and even more importantly, Jesus, who sacrificed for our spiritual and eternal freedom. Can you say amen this morning? Amen. Would you stand right now? Nothing could erase the judgment that was against me. Satan had the right to accuse. He had the right to argue with God because he said, look at them, look at that person. He's the accuser of the brethren. Stay with me. Stay with me, folks. As a matter of fact, if you don't mind, kindly, just bow your head for a moment. Close your eyes. Satan, the accuser of the brethren, points his bony finger. Look at where he failed. Look at where she failed. Look at the doubts. Look at the pride. Look at that lust. Jesus holds up his nail-scarred hand and he says, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Look at the nail scar in my hand. Get thee behind me, Satan. Everybody say, get thee behind me, Satan. I will have no part of you. You have no part of me. I belong to the King. I'm a child of his love. I'm covered by the blood of Jesus. I'm protected by the name of Jesus. He loved me and he gave himself for me. And that means I'm worth something. Somebody give God a hand of praise. Hallelujah. 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 A sacrifice of repentance. Sacrifice of obedience. I pledge my life to you, Lord. Is there anybody here today who wants to re-consecrate their life to God? Would you just raise your hand? We're not going to have you come up today. But while every head is bowed, every eye closed, is there somebody who wants to join me as I raise my hand? I want to reconsecrate my life. My life is yours. My life is not my own. To you I belong. I give it all away. Yes, I give it back. Like the songwriter said, I give you back the life I owe. I give you every part of me, Lord. My thoughts, my activities, my words, my behavior, Lord. Is there anybody who wants to raise their hand and say, Pastor, I want to reconsecrate my life. I want to reconsecrate my life to God. Would you raise your hand right now? This is between you and God. Hallelujah.